Heads up.
I'm calling Malala.
Whatever you need me to do, I'm available.
Coming, my sweet.
We're going on a road trip.
Caustic wit is my religion.
I like this one.
Well, that's because I'm rich.
It gets bigger.
Whatever you do, do it 100%.
Smile and put on a happy face.
We've passed on all we know.
She could be an Avenger if she tried.
Well, I'm terribly sorry, dear.
The movie news.
Look at me.
With Garrett Davey.
Welcome to this Movie News Podcast special. I'm joined by writer, director and producer Paddy Slattery. Paddy, you're very welcome.
Hi, Garrett. How are you?
Your film, Broken Law, is in cinemas from Friday. I suppose, firstly, just tell me a little bit about the film.
It's a crime thriller, and it's about a guard, a very well-respected guard, who must hide out his brother, who's just out of prison and gets involved in a botched robbery. And suddenly, Dave, this guard, his loyalty to law is tested. He meets and falls in love with this woman, Amy, and later discovers that she's actually one of the victims of the brother's crime. And all hell ensues for poor old Dave. And that's it in a nutshell.
Now, the movie has a great pace to it. I mean, it really flies along. And was that something, like, from the start of the process, like, if you go way back to when you were doing the script, that was in your mind, that this would be a fast-paced crime thriller that would really sort of appeal to a sort of, you know, early 20s generation?
Absolutely, yeah. When we initially knew that we were going to be shooting, running and gunning, essentially, a very small crew, lots of handheld shots, because we didn't have the time to lay down tracks and jibs and cranes, we knew, I guess, aesthetically, the kind of directional style we had to go with. And by going that way, that sort of social real kind of tone and style, we knew that we needed, especially with the content, the context of the drama involved, we wanted to keep it sort of high energy. So as early as 2 years before we shot, John Desay, our editor, who I've worked with for years, we started looking at soundtracks at that stage. And we had already drafted up maybe 7 or 8 Spotify playlists for different scenes. So we kind of had an idea even before we even shot the script, in terms how pace would move, how scenes would transition, how our act one would, I guess, tie into act two, etc. So yeah, we were happy with the pace. We wanted to, I know our target audience is a sort of a younger demographic, but we wanted it to feel alive on screen and keep people entertained, because at the end of the day, we that was, I guess, one of our primary motives, was to entertain people first. That was our goal with this one. And if we can entertain audiences, then we can sort of sneak in maybe some deeper hidden meanings in there.
The cinematography in the movie, it has a great handheld feel to it. I mean, particularly in the action sequences. But you carry that style through with your cinematographer into the more intimate pieces as well, in that it complements in each of those sort of different swings in tone. Was that a very conscious decision from the outset to have that type of style?
Absolutely, yeah. Because I guess if you are, as Peter Bradshaw of The Guardian called it, a headbutt of a thriller, we knew that we wanted to give audiences some I guess emotional reprieve at some stages of the film, but also have the freedom to not feel an inconsistency in tone or style. So like you said, there's a couple of intimate moments between the brothers, between Dave and Amy, even between Wallace and Pete, where we wanted our audience to just sit down with the characters and listen to them chat as they would in everyday conversation. Because I guess, most importantly, we wanted the characters to feel real and feel alive and feel like people we know. Because I guess most of the crime genre that I'm familiar with, I guess if I was to criticize them in one way, is that I don't always fall in love with the characters as much as I want to. Of course, I get all the action I come for. It's a very popcorn or an experience, but I want people to come away with more than just entertainment. I want them to feel like they can possibly identify with some of those characters, if that makes sense.
Now, collaboration is, I suppose, one of the key elements to the production side of cinema, and particularly doing your first feature as well. You've some fantastic collaborators. Let's talk about your actors first. You've worked with Tristan Henu on many occasions, John Connors as well. So what was it like working with this great cast that you lined up?
I loved it. And what I love most about them, like you said, Tristan, John, even Graham Early, who plays Joe, Jemilia Devereaux, Ryan Lincoln, Ali Nicaire. I could go on and on. Even Gary Lydon, who I'm a huge fan of. What I love about these actors is that they are, I guess you would call them maybe character actors. They embody the character and they bring them to life on the screen. So they don't necessarily rely on my authorship on the page so much. And that, in my opinion, gives them the creative license to find the character. And so when John turns up on set as Wallace, I'm just sitting back as a film fan, drooling at the mouth at this performance unfolding before my eyes. I loved it.
Now, your other collaborators as well, your cinematographer, your editor, hugely important in this process. Was that even more evident to you, you know, on your first feature film, that you need such great people to go into the trenches when you're making a feature film?
Absolutely, yeah. Our cinematographer, Narian Van Mail, he is amazing. I've worked with him on a short film prior to that, and Simon, our producer, Simon would have worked with Narian as well. And, it was such a blessing to be able to work with him on this. And he actually shot a feature film 2 years previous with his brother called Gutland. And that won Best International Film at Galway. And he's just got an amazing eye. And no matter where he put that camera, it just looked absolutely, like, Dublin looked visceral, it looked colourful, it looked vibrant. And that's exactly the kind of vibe we wanted. But it also kind of looked gritty and edgy and that kind of thing as well. So, yeah, Narian's amazing. John Desay, our editor, my very first short film about 10 years ago, I worked with John, and we have been inseparable ever since. He's an amazing guy and a brilliant editor.
From your own perspective as a director, I mean, who are the inspirations for you, and particularly in this genre that you've decided to first land in? What are the movies that inspired you, particularly in those days when you need to sort of really graft to get a film made? Who would you have looked towards, both as directors or as producers, in terms of inspiring you?
Familiar names, I guess I could say. Quentin Tarantino, funny enough, Pulp Fiction blew my mind when I saw it first. Paul Thomas Anderson's Magnolia, and the making of Magnolia really gave me the bug for making films. Stanley Kubrick, Tarkovsky, all of these. But in more recent times, when I knew that we were going to be making a crime drama, I looked at that genre. I looked at the Martin Scorsese's Mean Streets. I looked at, you know what I love, and I almost feel frustrated when it doesn't get the credibility it deserves. You know, Intermission, starring Colin Farrell and Cillian Murphy. I loved that film. It had a bit of everything. Great crime, great drama, great comedy. They call him Meany in it, I think, is a genius in it. And so, like, a film like Intermission really inspired me to that if we were going to make this kind of film, that's the kind of standard we needed to live up to.
John Crowley, of course, directed Intermission, and John's gone on to such amazing things and Oscar-nominated films, but someone who moved, I suppose, across genres. I think knowing your short films as well, that's probably something we can expect from you going forward, in terms of you're not just going to probably stick with the crime drama.
I want to make my Magnolia one day. I want to make my 2001. I want to make a Michael Haneke. I want to make Tarkovsky's Mirror. I want to make Holy Mountain, Jodorowsky's. Oh, I want to do it all, but I just know there's not enough time. I want to make Steven Spielberg's E.T. I want to make Terminator 2. I don't know, Garrett, what genre should I try next? I have no idea.
Just give out your postcode there and all the checks will arrive ready to start. You've had, I suppose, the benefit of lockdown to give you a little bit of separation from the end of post-production now through to the eve of the cinema release. Looking back on the experience, how was the experience overall? What did you take from it personally?
It was an existential journey, I have to say. It was tough. I had to dig deep emotionally, physically, financially on so many occasions. Genuinely, I was broken. In any way a person can be broken, I was broken for maybe 3 particular moments during the last 10 years trying to make it. So when when you cross that threshold, you're a filmmaker, you understand the trials and the tribulations. And when you do, when you cross that threshold and you break through and you get it done and it's in the canon, like our premiere at the Dublin Film Festival in the IMAX sold out, it's an outer body experience. And there's no way to even contemplate. I'll be honest, during lockdown, I had 3 months to let all of that madness sink in. And I don't think it's even sank in yet. So now, like you said, Friday, we're opening nationwide in cinemas, and it's all bonkers. It's all bonkers to me. It makes no sense. But I know somewhere in there, my analytical brain is telling me, calm down, Paddy. You know, this was what the goal was. You know, let it sink in. But I don't know. Maybe in 5-10 years' time, I look back and I'll say, wow, wasn't that a trip?
Paddy Slattery is writer, director and producer of Broken Law, the new Irish film that opens nationwide on July 31st.